Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we honor Dr. Elder Marie Carey on this morning, who is our president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have a spirit-filled lesson on today. So let's get started. Announcement: Friday noonday prayer has resumed. Please continue to pray for this ministry. Amazing Grace Ministries will be celebrating 5 years of Blog Talk Radio. And we will be celebrating our anniversary on June 4th, 2022. Come celebrate with us. More information to follow. For more information, contact Dr. Marie Carey by phone at 309-750-7584 or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministry, Inc., and you could send all donations to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those who have donations, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. Your donations are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this new year. And if you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. You can text at 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. To hear this lesson live, you can go to http://tobtara.com/s/120881888, and you will be connected live. Now, this word has come alive in the form of Jesus. The word will captivate your mind, give you illumination in your heart, and lift you up to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to a greater hope, and closer to Jesus. We will soon celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on tomorrow, but we can rejoice in him now. Sit back, take notes. Let's go. The theme for this month of April is, it's Passover time. The lesson for the second Saturday in April is, the sacrifice lamb lives. Matthew 28, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where they lay, where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall you seek him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren, say, go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I have some definitions. A sacrificial lamb is a metaphoric reference to a person or animal sacrificed for the common good. The term is derived from the traditions of an Abrahamic religion where a lamb is highly valued possession. Jeremiah 11:19 is a similar passage. In short, Jesus as the Lamb of God is a sacrifice for our sin in fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrificial system. It is by sacrifice that our communion with God is restored and by the covering of his blood that we are spared a spiritual death. We are getting ready to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on tomorrow, and I want to talk about who is Jesus on this morning. Amen. The title of the Sunday school lesson for tomorrow is The Paschal Lamb Lives. Following the Passover meal, after Jesus' under disciples had sung hymns, they set out for the Mount of Olives, a ridge stretching for about 3 miles from north to south of the eastern side of the city. After Jesus predicted the scattering of the sheep, he went up with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, a spot on the Mount Olives opposite the temple and the city, Matthew 26:36. At the Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in agony against the backdrop of 3 sleeping disciples assigned to keep watch. The inner group of disciples who had accompanied him to the Mount of Transfiguration was asleep. This scene highlights that the contrast between Jesus watching and praying and the disciples sleeping and not praying. How many times do you feel like you are all alone and nobody understands the problems that you're facing? But in this scene, in this event, Christ is showing the world that there's nothing that we're going to go through that Christ has not already gone through. In addition, Christ will be there with us through the trials and tribulations that we are facing. While Jesus was speaking to his disciples about their inability to stay awake and to watch and pray, Judas, his betrayer, arrived with the chief priests and the elders of the people. That's Matthew 26:37-56. Then approaching Jesus, they laid hands on him and seized him. Their violent actions provoked a violent response. Matthew records that one of Jesus' disciples stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear, Matthew 26:51. Jesus then instructed that disciple to put his sword back in its place, saying, for all that they take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 52. Jesus then point out how the unfolding events are in plan of his father, Matthew 56. A little later on, while sitting outside in the country yard, Peter denies even knowing Jesus, Matthew 26, that's 69 through 75. Matthew says that those who have seized Jesus led him to Cephas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered, deliberating with one another against Jesus in order to bring about his death, Matthew 27 and 1. While on the other hand, Judas, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, he threw down the pieces of silver and went and hung himself. The central point of the passage now follows. The high priest put a leading question to Jesus using an oath formula. I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God, Matthew 26 and 63. Jesus was suddenly forced to admit who he really is, verse 11. In response to Jesus' answer, the high priest tore his garment and declared Jesus' statement was blasphemous. One tearing his or her garment was a gesture indicating the indescribable heartache, anger, or grief. The die was cast. Jesus was condemned to death. Scene of the crucifixion, Golgotha, soldiers offered Jesus wine mixed with gall, and over his head they placed the title, "This is Christ, the King of the Jews." The death of Jesus was set before the great cosmic sign of a darkened sun and the torn veil of the temple. After the ninth hour, Jesus pierced the darkness as he broke his silence and screamed, my God, why have I forsaken me? Why have thou forsaken me?" Matthew 26, 27 through 46. The very dark moment of the life anticipated the promise of the resurrection. Now, this has also been what is called Holy Week. The last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and this Sunday, which is tomorrow, will be Resurrection Sunday, or the world calls it Easter. But we call it Resurrection Sunday because that's the Sunday that Jesus rose with all power. So we're going to talk about it on today. We're going to talk about the week, and certainly that they have been a lot of ceremonies going on. Yesterday was Good Friday, which a lot of people were doing the seven last words of Christ on the cross. So there has been a lot of celebrations. We find that the veil of the temple, when Christ finally gave up the ghost, was ripped. But also we have to understand that he was the sacrificial lamb, and he is the last sacrifice that humankind will ever need. The lamb in review. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." John 10 and 10. That's the New King James Version. In 1 John 5, 11 through 13, we are told that if we have the Son in our life, we can know that we have eternal life. Jesus is the only way for us to live an abundant life here on earth or receive eternal life in fellowship with God. Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins, so that we could be sinless in the eyes of God. If we do not receive the free gift of eternal life by experiencing the forgiveness achieved by God, by Jesus, then we will receive the punishment we so justly deserve. Jesus must become the Lord of our lives. Imagine your life as an automobile. Jesus must be behind the wheel of your life. Believe in the atonement of Jesus on the cross and receive the gift of eternal life, which Jesus died to freely give you. Jesus was Jehovah God who joined the human race. He came preaching the message of repentance. He is God Almighty, Isaiah 9 and 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." This prophecy. Matthew 1:23, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy fulfilled. Jesus was declared to be the mighty God an everlasting Father long before he was ever conceived in the womb of Mary. The everlasting Father became the child and son born in a manger. Therefore, Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Almighty God, became a man. Isaiah 40:3 says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. This is prophecy. John 1:23, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:21, she would give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hebrews 7:27, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 3:5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. The name of Jesus in the New Testament Greek is Iosus. The origin of Jesus' name is found in the Old Testament, means Joshua, Joshua, and Joshua, pronounced Yahshua or Yahshua. These names mean Jehovah saves, Jehovah saves, and Jehovah Savior. The name of Jesus was not decided upon in an arbitrary fashion, as most children names are. Jesus' name was decided based upon his mission in life. And his mission was determined from the foundation of the world. He was to save us from our sins, Revelation 13:8, with one sacrifice for all time. The significance of the name of Jesus does not end with his mission in life, also found in the fact that Jesus is Jehovah, the one true God, who stretched out the heavens alone and spread out the earth by himself, Isaiah 44:24, came to the earth to save us by living as Jesus Christ. God did not send someone else to save the world. He came himself. Jesus is the Son of God. Psalms 2:7 said, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Also in Hebrews 1:5. Matthew 1:18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 14:28, if you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. 17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, who I love. With him, I am well pleased. Matthew 26:63-64 says, but Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. Romans 1:4. And who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from death, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the sonship of Jesus was predetermined in the mind and plan of God from eternity, but he did not really exist until he was born in Bethlehem. As the mentor Robert Sabin describes, when a home builder looks at blueprints for his future home, they sees the plans for the bathroom and says, there's the bathroom. They can see it in their mind's eye, but it doesn't exist yet. The plan of Jesus' birth, his life, sacrifice, and death was similar. You might say God had a blueprint of salvation that was so real to him he could see it as though it already existed. Romans 4:17 tells us God calls all things that are not as though they were. Psalms 2 and 7, quoted above in the King James Version, states, "This day have I begotten thee." Jesus was God's son, his only son. He had a birthday, which means there was a time when he did not exist. The Spirit of God is eternal, without beginning or end. Man is not eternal. As a man, Jesus had a beginning. The humanity of Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sin at Calvary. The Spirit of the risen Christ, humanity and divinity together, will never end. Since the first Christmas day, Jesus will always be God, and God will always be man. 1 Corinthians 15:28 describes a time when God will be all and in all. The sonship of Jesus as mediator to the human race will no longer be necessary when there is no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow. Jesus will always be God's only begotten son. Jesus is everything to us. He is God. He is Savior, mediator, propitiation for our sin, advocate, and comforter. Soon, he will be our rescuer, king, and ruler. Thank you, Lord. So as we celebrate Jesus rising on Sunday, let us remember to celebrate him 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours. He has risen in our lives because we are free from sin because of this very act that we celebrate. So let's celebrate Jesus by lifting him up, by praying, not as disciples that was watching with Jesus fell asleep. Let us not fall asleep, but let us be on our game. Let us be aware. Let us pray and seek God, because the enemy wishes to take us out. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. So we have to put the whole armor upon us, Ephesians chapter 6, that we may stand against whatever Satan throws our ways. Let us pray. Father God of heaven and earth, we come humbly before your throne of grace. God, you're so good, and your mercies endure to all generations. God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace and the Great I Am. Thank you, dying way back on Calvary, just for us. You did it just for us and just for me, and I am so thankful, Lord. You did not come down from the cross to save yourself and what you could have, but you stayed, and we thank you for giving your life that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. Lord, look on your people everywhere. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name, and see the need, Lord. Supply the need. Give each according to your will, God. And then, Lord, look on the Carey family. Strip like no other. Do for us that which only you can do, God. Bless Dr. Carey as her endeavors, as she do your will. God, thank you for our leaders that you have blessed us with. Thank you for my superintendent, Dr. Gibbs and Lady Gibbs. Look on our leaders, God. Give them the strength that is needed for the time as this. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Look on Mother Garnett, God. Mother Lucky. Look on Dad Ellis, the bereaved family, the sick, the lost, and the shut in. And we're going to give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise, because it all belongs to you, in Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your president and CEO is the elder Dr. Maria Carey, and your co-host is yours truly, Evangelist Rogers. Tune in next week, same time, and Dr. Carey will be returning. Remember, God is still in control. Wear your mask. Be mindful and enjoy the remainder of your day. Be blessed and have a happy Resurrection Day. And don't forget to let's praise God. Let's praise him for all that he's done for us, all that he's doing for us, and all that he's going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.